cause?
Well, let's speak to a couple of climate scientists joining us on the programme. From the University of Bristol, Dr. Tamsin Edwards is with us. Good afternoon.
Good afternoon.
And also from Reading University, Dr. Ed Hawkins. And Dr. Hawkins, I gather you are one of the scientists who actually contributed to the IPCC report. Is that correct?
Good afternoon. Yes, that's right.
Okay. Well, before we get into the nitty-gritty of it, I'm intrigued to know how much because this is a monster publication, isn't it? And a lot of you were involved. I think I was reading more than 200. So how much actual agreement was there in the final document? Because there must have been a certain amount of sort of haggling over the wording and that sort of thing.
So this report is the world's climate scientists come together to give the most comprehensive assessment to date of our understanding of how the climate system works, understanding the past changes and projecting the future. And it is a consensus. There's not agreement on every single word, but it is a consensus view.
Yes. So there were contributors who didn't actually agree with the final wording.
Well, not all scientists agree on everything. Everyone agrees on the fundamentals of the greenhouse effects and how carbon dioxide influences temperatures. There are disagreements about particular details, but that doesn't deflect from the overall agreement amongst the climate scientists that which is extremely likely that human activity is dominating global temperature rise over the last 50 years.
How confident are you? Sorry, just one further question to Dr. Hawkins. How confident are you that you've got everything right this time after some of the inaccuracies of the last report 6 years ago?
So that's right. There were one or two errors in the last report, but the...
Doesn't instill much confidence in this one, does it?
The procedures have been changed this time to ensure that the report remains fit for purpose.
OK. Tamsin Edwards, come in.
Hi. All I was going to say, actually, is that... Ed talked about how this is a very comprehensive report, and where there are those scientific differences and disagreements in the community, those are all still represented. So if there are different people who have different ways of representing ice sheets in computer models, both of those views are there, and then just the amount of evidence that supports each type of method, it's all presented, it's all in there, all of the details, and you can go away and look it all up.
Because one of the things that's been quite interesting, and I suppose frustrating from your point of view, both of you, is that certain debate about this subject today has centred around, oh, this is the report, so therefore it's going to happen, and here are the sceptics who don't believe it. And it is so much more complex than that, isn't it?
I spend quite a lot of time talking to sceptics about what their concerns are, and of course some of them it's mainly about policy. But those who are sceptical about elements of the science, it's been very helpful and very interesting to me to talk to them about where those differences of opinion lie. Can we answer their questions? Can they help us to do a better job in some cases, come up with new ideas for doing things, and really try to get away from the fact that there's two polarised camps that are standing each side, kind of calling names at each other, but really trying to find a way through, recognise there's a spectrum of views in the scientific community and a spectrum of views in the sceptical community, and work out where those overlaps and differences lie.
Dr. Hawkins, the global average temperature hasn't changed in 15 years, so what's your reading into that, and what's to suggest that it will continue to rise in the future?
So that's right, global temperatures have not increased very much over the last 15 years, but that needs to be put into the wider context. Global temperatures have gone up by 0.8 degrees over the last 150 years. We've seen sea levels rise, continue to rise over the last 15 years, faster than the models projected last time around. We've seen the Arctic ice melt faster than was projected last time around. And we're seeing the ocean continue to warm. So what we need to see is the global surface temperature's been perspective of the wider changes.
But again, I go back to this point that last time out, you know, there were inaccuracies, and you know, this pause, as we've been calling it, is something that the IPCC really failed to predict.
That's a common misconception, actually. This pause has not been surprising to scientists. I think perhaps we failed to communicate that we would expect this kind of thing to happen, so we can accept some responsibility for that, of course. But if we think about climate being a long-term trend, we always expect there to be shorter-term changes because perhaps there's a temporary cooling effect that balances out the long-term warming, and that's what we think is happening now, and it's something that we've always expected, but it's quite difficult to predict exactly when those will happen, when the sun's output will be a bit weaker, when there are volcanoes, when the heat is actually going into the ocean instead of the atmosphere. So it's not a surprise that these pauses happen. It's just difficult to predict exactly when.
How do you get everyone on side with this argument? Because it is, I mean, you were talking, Tamsin, about the sceptics that you talk to, and, you know, people are quite cut and dried on the issue, aren't they? If they're against the idea that humans are responsible, then that's what they're going to believe. So how do you get them on board?
Well, people like certainty. They like to think that scientists are either 100% right or 100% wrong. And equally, the media like to sell a simple story. They like to say it's absolutely no problem to worry about climate change, or it's absolutely a disaster and we all need to go
The report saying 95% sure, so they're putting the figure on it.
Of course, you know, we have a quantification of how sure we are about these things, but really, I'm talking about people who sort of oversimplify whether perhaps think that all science, all of the climate science is wrong, and so we're just trying to pick apart those arguments and say, well, actually, you know, most skeptics that I talk to, by far the majority, accept that humans have an effect on climate and on global warming, and the differences lie in perhaps what impact that will have or what to do about it, perhaps how fast the warming will be. And actually, those are really the details, and scientists also discuss those details. So, there's a lot more overlap than you might think.
Ed Hawkins, just give us a little further insight, if you would, into the process of putting this together. And, you know, I'm fascinated by this idea of all these great minds, you know, together in one place, putting together all the evidence for this extraordinary report. You know, what have things been like over the last few days before the publication of it?
Well, it's been a very exciting time for all of us. So 50 of the lead authors met up in Stockholm this week to go over what's called the Summary for Policymakers, which is the document that the governments assess and look at. So the 50 scientists have been there in Stockholm discussing with the governments about how to word that document.
Yeah. Is there much debate at that stage?
I believe so. I wasn't there, and there haven't been many details made public. But on top of that Summary for Policymakers, there's a 1,000-page report, which we released on Monday, which has been written by 250 authors from 39 different countries, and that they've been getting together over the last 3 years while they've been writing it to discuss the details, come to consensus, but also discuss where there are perhaps less certainty. We don't know everything about the climate system, but we know enough to be confident that humans are having a significant impact.
What's the key message tonight for people listening to this? Why should they care about this?
Well, we all live on this planet, and it's important to try to understand how it works, how all of the different parts link up, what's happened in the past and why, and what might happen in the future and why. And also, what I'd like people to do is get excited about, you know, understanding the planet, not sort of switch off, get bored, get cross, all of these things that we've had, of course, over the last few years, but just be excited. You know, what could be more interesting than trying to predict the future? And I think that's the thing I'd love to see from this, is people just to really grab hold of the excitement of that knowledge and that process, that scientific process of learning about the world.
And Ed Hawkins, as someone who's contributed, what do you hope happens? I mean, what do you want to see from governments worldwide now?
So the governments have asked for this report. They've asked the scientists to come together to assess the evidence, and the climate scientists have delivered that report now. And so it is now up to the governments of the world to decide how to take these risks. It is a risk of severe impacts if carbon dioxide emissions continue to grow. And so it's now down to the governments to make those very difficult decisions about what to do about a changing climate. And there are no easy choices about what we do.
The UK government says it's more down to international governments. They feel they're doing enough and they're on target to meet the targets they've set for themselves. Would you agree with that? Or can everyone always do more?
I think it is fair to say it is an international problem, and it is an international issue which all governments around the world need to come together on.
OK, but can we do more in this country?
I think the UK is actually leading the way. We have a Climate Change Act now. We are leading the rest of the world in how we are responding.
Thank you. That's Dr. Ed Hawkins there, and Dr. Tamsin Edwards as well. Ed's from Reading University, Tamsin's from the University of Bristol. And in half an hour, we'll speak to a scientist who's sceptical about the IPCC's findings. After six, we'll hear from the Climate Change Minister about what they're doing to reduce greenhouse gas emissions. And if you want to hear our earlier interview with oceanographer John Shepherd, you can listen on the iPlayer at bbc.co.uk/iPlayer.